The scripture passage today comes from John 17, 1 through 5, and 13 through 19. After Jesus said this, he looked toward the heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Well, with four kids under the age of 10, or 10 and under, you can understand, and it's safe to say, that our dress-up bin at home has been well used. And lately, our youngest, our three-year-old Livy, she loves it on Mondays when the rest of the kids are at school. She loves to go and dress up. And she comes out and she shows her extravagant outfits. Well, one day, she came out, and she didn't have a princess dress on, but she came out with this outfit on, smug little smile, and she goes, Mom, I'm Super Livy. And this is Super Livy in all her glory right there. And it was cool because she said, Mom, I'm on a quest. What can I do for you? And Michelle's like, can you do, I don't know. You know what we need is our dog needs to be walked around the house. Can you do that? Sure thing. Gets the leash, puts him on the leash, and our 14-year-old dog's like kind of being pulled around the house. But, you know, she doesn't. She puts it down. She's like, I'm done. Now what? And she's like, I don't know. Go and, like, clean your little kitchen area. So she's trying to make work. But then all of a sudden, Michelle goes, you know what? This is kind of nice. You know what? Super Livy, I forgot my slippers upstairs. Can you go get my slippers for me? You know, and I'm thinking, ask her to take the garbage out. Like, start doing, the lawn needs to be attended to sometime soon, but let's take advantage of this. And let's take advantage of it now, because when they turn 8, they don't want to do any more missions and quests for you anymore. But we realize something very important in this. See, Livy still loves to dress up as the princess, but there are times when Super Livy emerges. And we realize in those moments that she's not content just to be a pretty face, but that she loves mission. So there's something about it where she has to fulfill a mission. My question for you this morning as we begin, do you have mission? Do you have mission this morning? Are you living in mission? We're going to talk a little bit about John 17, which Jacob just read for us. But I want us to kind of oversee this question this morning, and I want to help drive us to this truth that I believe with all my heart, and something maybe inspires you, challenges you, you disagree with, whatever. But I want us to look at this truth today, and it is this, that our greatest fulfillment in life comes from aligning ourselves with God's mission. There's a lot of things in life that bring fulfillment to us. Yes, I agree with that, and I believe that. But our greatest fulfillment in life comes from aligning ourselves with God's mission. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there's nothing better in this world than that? Well, as Dana welcomed any of you who are new this morning, we say welcome to you. Glad you're here. And if you're just joining us, good morning to all the rest of you as well. We're in this series. If you've been with us for a while, as you know it, it's called Surrendered. Maybe you're already waving the white flag saying, I surrender with this series. I get it and we're done. But we're not. We're excited because we are still moving forward. And we're going to be making a little shift next week that Chris is going to talk to you about in this Surrendered series. But we're looking at this overarching thing saying, Jesus said when he was on earth, come follow me. What does that actually mean? What does that actually mean? And we're really glad that you're here today, because I believe that as we kind of end this part of our series and to take a shift next week. This part is actually the crescendo of our entire series thus far. And the reason is this. Everything that we've been talking about so far has been building blocks of our discipling of Jesus, or being discipled from Jesus. So what does it mean to be a follower? Well, it means not just opening religiously our Bible and reading it, but understanding that God speaks through it, understanding that the Holy Spirit has a big role in our lives, and what is he wanting to say to us? So it's all these things that have been building in us and us and us. But now, today, as we talk about this idea of mission, all of those things are so that we can be built up, turned around, and sent out. Because I ask you, if all of these things were just for our building up, what kingdom purpose do they have? Wouldn't it be odd to be on the SkyTrain one day and talk to somebody, and you find out that this man is a doctor or this woman is a doctor, and as you get talking to them, you mean, where did you go to school? I went, you know, UBC, I went to wherever in Canada, got my doctorate degree, I'm a practice, you know, I can be, and I've had it now for 10 years. You're like, great, where do you practice? Well, I don't, actually. I've been at home. I've been a stay-at-home mom or dad and don't do anything. Well, don't you practice medicine? No. But you went to school and now you do all this. Yeah, but you know what? Actually, we don't have any kids. I was just lying. I'm just at home doing nothing. I sit on my butt all day and do nothing. Wouldn't that seem a little bit odd to you? What would be your question? Why not? You spend all this time and all this money and all this effort pouring out so that you can become a doctor, so that you can give and help other people, and you're doing nothing with it. The same is kind of true for us in our walk with Jesus. If everything is just about me and my growing as a follower of Jesus, we're missing out on something essential. And so today is kind of the crescendo of all that we've been talking about this far, and it's this whole idea of mission. As Jesus died, was resurrected, and as he gathered with his followers, what did he instruct them to do in what we know as the Great Commission? Jesus does not say, therefore, go and be my disciples. Instead, he says, go and make disciples. It is a proactive instruction for us, and this distinction creates mission, a kingdom mission far beyond just ourselves. And this brings us back again to that main truth. Our greatest fulfillment in life comes from aligning ourselves with God's mission. So let's look into John 17 to unpack this idea of kingdom mission today. And we're going to start with verse 1. We're going to go through verses 1 to 4. In verse 1 it says, after Jesus said this, said what? He's been talking to his disciples. He's been talking to his followers and giving them instruction. And he says, I've told you all these things that you may have peace, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then he says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven. So suddenly he goes from talking to his followers to having this kind of intimate conversation with his Father that we're allowed to see into and hear about. And he says, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Jesus has reached a crossroads in his earthly ministry, in his earthly life, because we will see very soon that Jesus will be arrested, and he'll walk down a road that leads to a cross. But at this point, at this fork, he says, my time has come. And he says, for you granted him, the Son, me, authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. And he reminds us, and it's almost like he reminds himself of what his mission was on earth. He says in verse 3, this is Jesus' mission. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have gave me to do. He says those words, but Jesus is not yet crucified or risen from the dead. So how can he say here, I have brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do? It may seem like it doesn't make sense, but what Jesus is doing is he's talking both in a future sense, but also a past tense. So he's saying, I have now completed the work you've given me to do. In other words, in just a few In a short time, I will be crucified, I will be hung on a tree, and I know that that is coming. But I've also completed the work that you've given me to do previous to this time, of walking with people and talking to them and sharing with them. We understand here that Jesus didn't just come to die. If he did, he just would have hung out at home until it was time to hang on a cross. But we see here that through Jesus' life, he came to point people to the Father and to show them that there is another way to live than just through their own eyes. In essence, this was the mission of Jesus. Father, I want to make you famous through the entire world. That was his mission. You see, Jesus understood that the greatest fulfillment for all of us comes from aligning ourselves with his mission. You see, we all love mission. We all love this idea of purpose. When three of our kids have graduated from preschool so far, and in their preschool graduation, it's a very big day. It's a very big day because what they do at this particular preschool, it's awesome. When inside, I'll give props to them because they do preschool so well. But at the graduation, as the kids are introduced, they also say what they want to do in life. And it's awesome because you hear about people wanting to be teachers and doctors and firefighters and astronauts and all these amazing things. It was awesome. Reese, our 10-year-old, when it was her time to graduate from preschool, she said, I don't know. I either want to be either a nurse or I want to be a Chuck E. Cheese worker. We were really excited about that, and we don't want to pressure her or push her in one way or another, but both are high aspirations, I admit. They're great. But you hear about all these kids, and they talk about in terms of mission. They talk about wanting to do something different to make a difference in this world. You never hear any of them say, you know what? I just don't care what I do when I grow up. Or, you know what? I just want to go to work and pay a bunch of bills because that sounds like so much fun. You don't hear that. They want to live in mission. I think the sense of us enjoying and actually craving mission can also be seen through TV and movies. This one particular movie, love it, this trilogy, and you can see, and I want you to listen to the mission that is so clearly articulated in this scene.
You have only one choice. The ring must be destroyed.
What are we waiting for?
The ring cannot be destroyed, Gimli, son of Gloin, by any craft that we here possess. The ring was made in the fires of Mount Doom. Only there can it be unmade. Must be taken deep into Mordor and cast back into the fiery chasm from whence it came. One of you must do this.
One does not simply walk into Mordor. Its black gates are guarded by more than just orcs. There is evil there that does not sleep. The great eye is ever watchful. It is a barren wasteland, riddled with fire and ash and dust. The very air you breathe is a poisonous fume. Not with 10,000 men could you do this. It is folly.
Yes, I love Lord of the Rings. And yes, I think the reason is because everything changes in that scene. Everything changes. And the rest of the trilogy is actually based on the heels of that scene. One of you must go to destroy the ring. There's a mission involved in that. My guess is that the trilogy would have been not nearly successful in the box office if it was simply titled Frodo's Frolicking. And all we did was watch him and his friends enjoy picnics, pull pranks on each other, have naps, and play games. But whether it's watching the quest of Frodo and the Fellowship trying to destroy the ring, Or maybe it's even cheering for Emmett Brakowski as he takes the piece de resistance to stop the Kregel. Or a myriad of other movies that you've watched. I think we gravitate towards those that have a clear sense of mission. Jesus also loved mission. He lived with mission. And his mission was to usher in the kingdom of heaven to a world, as Tim told us earlier, that is broken and in need of healing. And now, with that understood, and Jesus' mission clear, let's go to verse 13. Because there's a transition here that takes place. Jesus says, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, Jesus' mission may be complete and about to be completed, but here he's praying for his disciples, this motley crew of 12 that he has spent most of his time with on earth. And what is Jesus praying here? That they would have joy and that they would not be taken out of the world, but that they would be protected from the evil one. In a sense, if Jesus is going to die and go to heaven, why doesn't he say, Lord, as I am going to be resurrected in heaven, please bring all of the disciples with me? But he doesn't. Do you know why? It's because they still had a mission to complete, a kingdom mission that was before them. You see, the disciples already knew this. Back in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus was still with his disciples and talking and walking with them, there came a point. I want to read a couple verses at the beginning of Luke 9. It says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, the disciples, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And verse 2 says, listen, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They already knew that they were sent. So they were not ready to go to heaven. They knew that there was still a kingdom mission to complete. What's Jesus' prayer? In verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. In other words, God, make them holy. Father, make them holy so that they don't lose sight of their kingdom mission. Jesus is telling them, guys, there's so many things that are fulfilling in this world, but the greatest fulfillment in life comes from aligning ourselves with God's mission for this world. And verse 18, as I told you, everything has been building, and this is crescendo this morning. As we have been building as followers of Jesus and learning what it means to surrender our lives and every facet of that. Verse 18, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I have sent them into the world. See, in this, we understand the disciples are more than just spectators of the life of Jesus, but they are engagers of the mission as well, because Jesus has sent them. And if you think that's great, because we can watch all of this, what does verse 20 here say? It says, my prayer is not only for them alone. Welcome to this. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. And you know what? All of that includes us today. It's this idea of Missio Dei. It's this Latin term that means sentness, the sentness of God. All of us have this kingdom mission before us because Jesus has sent us and he has gone before us and completed his mission to usher into earth his kingdom. He has died and rose again and left us with this incredible mission that far surpasses anything else that we can find fulfillment in this world. Sit in that for a moment. We are called to be sent out. Jesus calls us in, builds us up, understanding, surrender, so that we can be sent out. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So that we don't sit on our butts and do nothing with everything we have learned, like a doctor who gets a degree and does nothing with it. We are built up and blessed so that we can be a blessing to others and usher in the kingdom of God. I don't know how that sounds for you this morning. Maybe you're excited about it. Maybe you're terrified. Maybe you're both. Or maybe you're neither. Jesus calls us to partner with him in his mission to usher in God's kingdom. This was never meant to be a boring task. It gives us higher purpose than anything else that we can do here as Jesus followers. And so I understand the pushback. You may say, Jeff, this sounds great. But honestly, I'm just not feeling it. I can hear you say, yes, I understand Jesus had a mission, and then he sends out the 12, and then he sends us all out as well, those who will follow and believe in the message. That includes me because I love Jesus. That's great. But there are a lot of other things that are great in this world. And frankly, I don't feel the sentness of God in my life. Well, if you don't feel missional, perhaps there's one of three things going on, and maybe there's other things that I don't know. But as I was kind of wrestling through the other side of this, instead of us going, hey, hurrah, that's awesome, we're gone, there's pushback on this, and I understand that. But maybe there's one of three ideas that I came up with that might be going on in you. Number one, you have no personal mission. And I'm speaking kingdom-minded here. You have no personal mission. Let me ask you this. If you're feeling that way this morning, when did things change for you? You see, whether you went to preschool or not, at that preschool age, we tend to think idealistic about the world, that we are not just paper pushers and we're not just paying bills, but that we want to create a dent in this world. And then we understand the love of Jesus and his grace, and we need to say, even better is this kingdom dent that I want to see in this world in my lifetime. If you have no personal mission today, where and when did that change for you? If you don't have that same zeal, how have you become satisfied with something less? Have you become cynical? What has changed in you? Perhaps you still have mission inside of you, but perhaps you're content in living someone else's mission. And maybe that's seen through movies, that you love movies like Lord of the Rings and other ones that have mission, but you almost live it vicariously through other things. Carter's got an Xbox, and we went to go get him a new game. And I'll be honest, I couldn't find him a new game that was suitable for him. And so I asked the manager, I said, is there any things here for eight-year-olds? He goes, to be honest, Xbox and video games, they don't create a lot of games for kids anymore because their biggest market is actually young and middle-aged men. And I'm not joking here because they say that what they do is most of these games are first-person games. And these games are mission-related. And so young and middle-aged men are spending a lot of time on these missions, on video games. And at the same time, lack mission, kingdom mission of their own. Now, I'm not here to say we need to throw our Xboxes and PS3s and 4s and all that into have a burning party. Not at all. Because it's your judgment of what you play. And you know what? Sometimes they can be very entertaining. They're great. But I will say, if these things have replaced your own personal mission to what God has called us, and you're living your mission virtually in this world, something is off kilter. Something is definitely wrong. Number two, maybe you have no personal mission. Maybe you're pursuing the wrong mission. See, there's a mission that Jesus gives us that is clear for us in ushering in the kingdom of God. And that can look totally different for each of us. I understand that. Maybe it's through a vocation. Maybe your vocation is not in ministry, but it doesn't matter. Whatever you do, God has called us to make a kingdom dent in this world. But we've also heard other voices, and I don't want to get on the soapbox here, but I want us to understand the truth that is around us as well. And it's this truth that we've heard to say that we are the mission, not part of God's mission. In other words, things stop with us. It is us and us alone, our happiness, our comfort, our control, our own joy, or perhaps our own security that supersedes anything else. This is a scary but pervasive thought. That we have somehow become not the center of the universe, but our universe. And thus, everything we do is done to feed our solo mission. Have you bought into this lie? Pastor Tim Keller says this so well. He says, by raising my needs to their highest level, more important than any other commitment or cause or eternal truth, I no longer have anything to sacrifice for. I am no longer have any cause that I am a part of. He says, here's the great irony. By exaggerating my significance, I have lost my significance. If this is true for you, you've lost your significance because you're no longer making a kingdom dent in this world. You're living for your own bottom line in whatever that looks like, in time and money and joy and all that stuff. It's all about you. Jesus says, I have sent them into the world that they may know Jesus and know the Heavenly Father, to make him famous. And we've turned it around and become about us. The third one is that your passion has waned. Your passion has waned. At one time, you know that it was there and it was strong. You had a mission and you felt sent. But that bonfire of sentness has dwindled down to an ember. For whatever reason. And that's not always a very negative reason, I want to add as well. Perhaps there's been rebellion and things where you've just turned your back and said, forget you, God, I'm going my own way. But perhaps you've also reached a crisis in your life at some point. Perhaps you've had deep questions of faith that you just haven't been able to see answered. And you've shaken your fist and eventually said, God, where are you in this valley? I don't see you. And your passion has waned for Jesus. And so has your mission. If you find yourself in a desert this morning, or you've been in a desert for a long, long time, for whatever reason that may be, we have to understand God's heart in this. And that as he sends us on mission, he comes alongside us to experience his grace and his love for us time and time and time again. That we will not necessarily have the perfect life, we will have a life walking with Jesus. That we need to come back to our first love and to allow God's grace to meet us, to remind us that he is walking with us and we are walking with him through all seasons of life, and to allow him to remind us that kingdom living far surpasses anything else here on earth. John 17, 19, the last verse in this passage, it says, because I want to just finish off, what is the result of living with this mission? He says, for them, for the followers of me, and the ones who want to make you famous, God, I sanctify myself that they too may be sanctified. That we may be set apart, not in an arrogant way, but we may be found holy, that we can be blessed. And again, why? So that when we wake up in the morning and we set our agenda for the day and we look at it, then we say, God, I surrender to you. Help me to be a blessing to those who I come in contact with today. Help me to make some sort of kingdom dent for you, God, in however you have called me. Because that is what I am called for, and there's nothing else on this world that is greater than that. Holy Spirit, go ahead of me and lead me. I want to invite the band up for one more song as we close. But I want us just to even just close our eyes just for a moment and just sit in this. Just take a few moments, even 30 seconds of just quiet. I want to read a quote for you after that, and then we're just going to sing a song of really praying to God as we close our time. But let's just be quiet for a moment. Father, we recognize this morning that there are so many things competing for our heart. So many things. Father, we're thankful that you came, that you sent your Son to usher into this new world, this kingdom of heaven, because we desperately need it. Thank you also, God, that you call us to be partners of this kingdom mission. That we're not here just to stuff ourselves, but to be poured out and to live missionally. Help us see that today. N.T. Wright says, our task as image-bearing, God-loving, Christ-shaped, Spirit-filled Christians, following Christ and shaping our world, is to announce redemption to a world that has discovered its fallenness, to announce healing to a world that has discovered its brokenness, to proclaim love and trust to a world that knows only exploitation, fear, and suspicion. Would you stand and pray this song with me today?